Scarpins Audio.
Numbers.
You gotta look for numbers.
Yeah, I got the numbers.
Early on, you know, when Mates Worldwide headquarters was under construction, we didn't know as much about the numbers.
No.
And we ran into a couple of times. You ran into like number snafus, which we can
talk
about.
We're not numbers guys. We're not suits. You know, looking at numbers. That's not us. That's not what we do.
No. God.
It's the last thing we are.
No, we're not numbers guys. We're snack guys. Snack guys aren't numbers guys. And if they are numbers guys, they're shitty numbers guys.
Yeah.
And if they're suits guys, they're shitty suits guys because they got crumbs on the stash and they got like a little bit. What's that thing on your tie, Byron? Oh, you know, he had a little fish taco, right? Mm-hmm. He had kept in his suit coat pocket. And he kind of pulled it out like when he went to the John during the conference board meeting because he couldn't wait, right? A little Tabasco sauce spill. He never even goes to the John. He goes around the corner, takes a big bite of that thing, Byron does, and then he's like, look, I'm satiated. He's a snack guy. He's a snack guy in a suit body. It's troublesome.
Yeah, it just sucks for those guys to be a suit. You got to pick. At some point, you got to choose your lane. You're going to be a suit guy, you're going to be a snack guy. Me, I'm a snack guy. You know, I decided that a long time ago. I decided that when I was just coming up early, when I was just in the minor leagues, you know, coach said to me, what are you going to be? Black? Yeah. You know, you got skills in both, but, you know, you could pitch or you could hit. What do you want to do?
Yeah. Yeah. What'd you say?
Know? I said, I'm a snack guy at heart. You know, he said, well, you're probably giving up some, probably leaving some money on the table. I said, coach, for me, it's all about the love of the game. You know?
Yeah.
And
you're not leaving any
happiness
on the table.
I've been a snack guy ever since. No.
No.
Not leaving any snacks on the table.
Black, you're leaving money on the table, but I'm not leaving happiness on the table, coach.
Mm-hmm.
That might be a good, we should, by the way, we're drumming up some merch. That might be a good, I'm just going to like write that down right now. We're not leaving any happiness on the table. You know what I'm saying? Because that's a good one. And we can point to this episode. Who knows what number this episode is?
Well, I think you're saying you don't leave any we're not leaving any happiness on the table, and that you could put that on some merch.
I'm talking about there's going to be Mates merch.
Merch.
Doesn't really.
How you doing? How you doing?
You think it would? You think it would, but it doesn't really go. Mates merch.
Doesn't right. Work. Mates merch.
I found a great when we're talking about the merch, we're thinking about, hey, what can we do? And this is for the viewers, the merch, because you know they're the mateys. God, there's, you know, like Byron is a perfect example. Byron's a matey. He's a suit guy. He's a snack guy trapped in a suit body, but he's loyal to the snack game and to the Mates podcast because the mateys are loyal. They're by, and again, we're not numbers guys, but by the numbers, the most loyal contingent in the contiguous 48. That's what that's what the numbers have told us.
That's what I'm told the numbers tell us by my numbers people. And my numbers people are very good at numbers. We don't let them near the snacks, you know, because that's just not during office hours. Off hours, you know, you throw them out, you give them a pair of sweatpants and maybe some Mates merch. Yeah. And you let them go to town on it. You know, you just open up the pantry and you say, you guys have some fun. You know, this is on you. And they're like, we can just have whatever we want. We say, yeah, I mean, drop a couple bucks in the coffee can. And they do because they're numbers guys. Yeah. But once you get them out of the suits, you let them run around in the playpen for a little while. They have a great time and everybody's happy.
Well, I remember like there's always like some new guy in the department, some new suit. And what's funny is when you say, I remember the first time you did it, when you say to the group, you said like, you know, any snack you want, just drop a couple of bucks in the coffee can. And it's interesting about real life because you might expect an explosion of like, yeah, but largely their eyes are just uncomprehending and blinking. Yeah. Like they just stand there dumbfounded. They don't move for a bit. And I got to like, you know, I got to slap them on the back. Come on, get in there, guys. And like, oh, and they move slowly. They're tentative. They can't really believe their good fortune.
Oh, they think it's a trick.
Yeah.
It's not a trick.
Because there's like a suit guy and a numbers guy is like, all right, this plus this equals this. You know, there's no give back. There's no fudging, right? There's no like, hey, job well done. It's like the numbers are just what the numbers are. But, you know, when you start saying, yeah, you want to grab a fistful of pecans? Go ahead. Sure.
Get in there. Go have some gummy worms. You want to mix some gummy worms with some Rolos? Yeah. Hey, you can do that. Yours.
All those canisters lined up on the shelves, have at them. Mm-hmm. Today, you feel like licorice today? What do you feel like? Black? Go ahead. Grab a handful. Oh, licorice and robe chocolate. Sure. Right there. I mean, we got, you know, and they just kind
of
stand.
I remember one of the numbers gals said to me once, God, who was it? I think it was Tanya, and she probably hadn't been there 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. She comes to me one day. This is after hours. Suits are off. Sweatpants and mates merch is on. And I say, go have some fun, Tanya. You know, get in the snack room and, you know, have some fun. Drop a couple bucks in the coffee can. She goes, all right, you don't mean chicken and a biscuit crackers too? And I just had to laugh. For some reason, so she thought like, the chicken and a biscuit crackers were off limits. Tanya, like, I said, oh, I just laughed.
They haven't, you know, their journey has not, they haven't any kind of cross, there's not cross currency with the snack game. And they're dumbfounded. Like Tanya, the first time, I remember like she just was uncomprehending about why we had to get out of the pantsuit and into the sweatpants. And we're like, look, you know, we don't want anybody worried about like the sartorial presentation. Right. And like the people who'd been there before, you know, and if we do it weekly or monthly, like they're lined up. They're throwing on the sweat. Some of them don't even go into the changing room. They just duck around a corner and they're like, because they know what's coming. But the newbies, they're reluctant to disrobe and then put on the sweats. And then they see like, you know, the people that their peers, you know, going headlong. And Tanya going, yeah, but it was just too much. The chicken biscuit, you know, it was just too much for her. She thought, okay, well, I can get some of these rolled gold pretzels, right?
Mm-hmm. But, well, yeah, you can have the rolled gold pretzels. But you can have the tiny twists. You can have the rods. You can have the sticks. Yeah, and whatever you want.
But not the chicken biscuit. We're like, yeah.
I wanted to shake her by the shoulders, you know?
You can't do that.
No, I don't. Yeah. No, obviously, you know, HR wouldn't let me do that.
Yeah. But you can yell with a megaphone loudly. No, I did. You're like, oh, grab the chicken biscuit crackers.
I had to put the little the siren thing on the bullhorn too. She hated that, you know.
Yeah, she did.
And I did get reprimanded. I did get reprimanded for that.
Only because it was a, you know, it's a very, you know, like it's an enclosed space. We're inside.
Yeah, it's small and it's loud. And
and frankly, like the HR department wants to lash out, you know. They want to lash out because they have a protocol. We're like, well, we can't be fraternizing.
Right.
And so they don't get the snack room, but it's their own choice. They're welcome.
That's what's so sad is that we've made it available to them.
Yeah.
We've said they're the ones who are like, no, there has to be a firewall. There has to be a firewall. Yeah. We can't go in there.
Online.
And we built a firewall for them. And then that turned out, that turned into a whole thing.
Not a real firewall.
Yeah, that turned into a whole thing.
A separation of duty. Yeah. So we built them a separation of duty.
Yeah.
And they didn't like that either. But it's like, guys, You can be hard-hearted and a reprimanding sort, but you can also put on your sweats and have some snacks. You're part of the mate's company, so come on in. But they don't want, and I think it makes them, you know, they're more prone to, you know, to like I say, to lash out a little bit.
Yeah. And you know, who can blame them? And by the way, we got the best HR people in the snack game. Like, I'm not saying a bad thing about Carlos or Linda
or any
of the team. Like, they're amazing. They're terrific.
They're vigilant. They're constantly, can we speak to you? And we're like,
yeah, they're like 10, 5-6 times a day.
Yeah, they're like, they want we just need to talk to you. And stuff. We do the whole thing. Like, we're like, it's just the cockpit is, you're breaking up red seven, break.
Yeah.
And they're, I think they're on now to the fact that we're not in a cockpit. Or some of them are. Some of them are. Like, I think Linda's like, guys, because I can hear deadpan going, I know you're in the building. I know you're not flying an F-14. And we're like, right, Linda,
break it
up. Dive.
Yeah.
God, that excuse has worked for years. Yeah. You want to reprimand me? I'm pulling G's.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then that crazy thing where like the Navy SEAL crew that was doing Top Gun heard about, they cross index actors in, who are pilots, and our names came up.
Yeah.
And they're like, can you guys, we don't have, these Navy SEALs don't know how to talk to the actors. You guys know how to talk to the actors. We'd like you to give them some kind of like flight training, dialogue. And, we looked at each other and we're like, sure.
Yeah.
Like we'll go down there and we're not like, the great secret is we're not pilots.
Not even close.
But we've gotten paid. We've gotten paychecks for being actors. So we thought we kind of fit the bill.
Yeah.
Plus they called up, and they got HR on the phone and they're like, these guys are always flying. And HR built it up. They got one of the people that didn't know that we were sort of not in that cockpit. And they're like, they're flying all day, all day. These guys love to fly.
They're always in a cockpit.
Every time we try to call up Michael and say, you can't shake people by the shoulders, he's pulling 8 G's, he's like, and so they're, so of course they bring us down and, Cruz was like, you guys again. And we're like, hey T, we're just, we just got asked by the SEALs and, it was a good scene though. Anytime you mix like actors who can't fly with flying machines, it's a good scene. It's a good scene. Yeah. You were great.
You
wear a flak jacket better than.
Oh, thanks, Tom.
99% of people.
I had my wife put on some patches too. She's, she put on some, she ironed on some patches. I thought it looked great.
Yeah.
And my whole thing with everybody was like, hey, pitch, yaw. You gotta.
When you said that, I laughed. I snorted.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know what the hell.
I didn't either.
And I looked over at Greg, the Navy SEAL guy, and he was nodding approvingly. And I was like, oh, magic knows what he's doing here.
Yeah. Pitch. I was like, you got to retract the landing gear, Greg.
And he's like, he's just nodding.
Yeah.
I think I felt like Greg sort of looked at it as the less I have to say as Greg, the happier Greg is.
Mm-hmm.
And so you in there saying stuff like, look, guys, are we going to lose somebody? Yeah. And Greg's just nodding. But are
they
we gonna
that.
Make?
They love that. They love when you say you're gonna lose somebody.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, it's not.
That's
gonna
what
be
I
me.
Signed up for. Yeah,
yeah,
no,
they're
not
like,
gonna be me.
I'm the guy that I like went through flight school with. Mm-hmm. He's gonna buy it like within the first year, and we're gonna be somber. We're gonna be nodding. Yeah, yeah. They nod along. They signed up for that stuff. It's
Greg. Check your ailerons. Yeah, they love it.
You said ailerons, and he just. He went from shaking his head to nodding to shaking his head to nodding. He's like, clearly that spoke to him.
Tommy, ask me if aileron is a real airplane thing.
Is aileron a real airplane thing?
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. But it didn't matter because when you had the seal of approval from Greg, the other actors were like, oh, this guy knows
what he's doing.
Knows what he's doing. Yeah. They glommed onto you. They wanted to hear stories. And it was funny because you were telling stories about, like being part of an RAF squadron, like stationed on the border there in France at the early stages of the war, and how you would fly like sorties out to like look down on and potential targets like bridges and so on and so forth. And I was like, at what point are they going to do the math?
That's
and
what I was thinking too.
Nobody did the math.
You're like,
yeah, at some point when the flak got heavy over Belgium, and I was like, we had to like knock down some bridges inside enemy territory that the Hun had taken, and we had to go biff Jerry in the mouth. And I'm just like, yeah, he was born. Yeah. Like 30 years later, and nobody did the math. They just wanted the.
They just wanted the stories, and I was happy to give them to them. When I had to bail over Antwerp, you know, Jerry's throwing a Full Metal Jacket up my way. You know, I'm just saying shit. You know.
Yeah, and I loved it. They were hanging on every word. The actors were like nodding, and they just Greg was like, yeah, been there, and he hadn't been there either.
Nah,
he was like 50. That was a good scene. Up until the point where we said, you know, we asked about like, you know, compensation, our payment for flying there down there to San Diego, and you know, somebody said something about how like that had never been discussed,
right?
And you were like, you were there on the tarmac in your flak jacket and your Randolph aviators, and you're mm-hmm. like, I'm risking my life for this country,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you had that big spiel. And we still didn't get paid, but that was a good scene.
Yeah, right up until that, I agree with you. It was a really, really good scene. And I tell you, flying Southwest back, you know, with my tail between my legs right there, that was a little embarrassing. You know?
Well,
you know. A little embarrassing.
Yeah, but at the same time, are you the flight coordinator of Top Gun 2?
Not officially. I mean, not on the credits. Not on the credits.
I parse those credits, my friend. I was like, here it comes. I brought a whole bunch of my mates to the cinema the first time. I'm like, here, watch this. Watch this. You're going to see this flight coordinator.
Somebody else
got a flight coordinator credit right up front. And I was like, it's going to be in the smaller
print, that guy, whoever it was, it said, whatever his name was, and then it said USAF, and then it said RET, period. I didn't know what any of that meant.
Yeah.
But I thought, that's some bullshit, something. I should have said I was USAF RET, and then I would have gotten that. They would have paid for my flight on Southwest.
I thought it was his name, and so I don't know what it was.
USAF, I didn't know.
USAF Red. Well, anyway, you know, we had a great time. You know,
great time.
We played Great Balls of Fire on the piano. We hung out. We laughed. Our scenes are cut, but you know, do people know that we are the unofficial flight coordinators of Top Gun 2? No, but will it get out there, kind of like an urban legend? Probably not. But we did it, and we feel good about ourselves.
Feel really good about it. Yeah. Well, it's like, you know, how many people work on scripts in Hollywood all the time? You know, only one person usually gets the credit for it. You know, screenplay by, but you know, it's been touched by 100 hands.
100%, and only
those
people,
those flight sequences in Top Gun. Same deal with us. You know.
We woke up late. If you watch Top Gun,
let me put it this way.
Go ahead.
Anytime you see somebody pitch or yaw in
us.
Top Gun, that's us.
That's us. And listen, they're pitching and yawing all over the place. Sometimes they're pitching and yawing. They're not even in the plane, and that's us. That's Michael Day.
Coordinator guy was. You know, I guarantee you, he didn't come up with pitch and yaw. I guarantee you, he didn't come up with that.
No, that was. That sealed your credibility right off the beginning, right out of the get go. You were like pitch and yaw, and everyone's like they were leaning in, you know.
Could somebody else have come up with retract your landing gear? Yeah, probably. You know, great minds thinking alike and all the rest of it. But,
maybe.
You know, I'm trying to be generous here. I'm trying to say, okay, you know,
I was right there beside you, and I was trying to come up with something.
You said pull up on the joystick, and there were guys. Yeah. If you see the thing, there's guy. What's
this
his guy's name?
Pulling up on the
He's
joystick.
Pulling up on the joystick like 10 times.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, Teller's always on the joystick.
Ugh.
That guy, you couldn't get him off the joystick.
You could not get that guy off the joystick all day.
When I said
he's on his joystick.
He's always on the joystick. And when I said pull on the joystick, Teller, he started writing it down, like just fiercely writing it down. Then he picked up his phone.
He couldn't wait to get on the joystick.
And he was texting, and he was like, I'm pulling on the joystick.
Could not wait.
Remember when he asked, when he went up to Tom and he was like, hey, and he put his arm around him, and you know, Tom's a shorter guy, and Tom doesn't like that because he feels that he can then feel like the difference in height
difference. Yeah.
You're not supposed to do it with the cruiser. You're not supposed to like, you know, put into those kind of imbalances. But Teller went up there and he throws his arm around cruiser and he's like, you know, I know that you did the first one and I know this one is going to be Top Gun 2 or Top Gun Maverick. But here's a recommendation. We call this thing pulling on the joystick.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to put the seats in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
And Cruise gave that, you know, the million watt smile and, you know, kind of pulled the Teller's arm off and kind of clapped him on the back and didn't say a thing. Walked off humming.
Mm-hmm.
And then Teller's there on the tarmac yelling, pulling on the joystick. Pulling on the joystick, Cruiser. Pulling on the joystick. He's yelling it.
Yeah.
I came by. We went up and we came back and sunset and kid's still standing there. Pulling on the joystick.
It was weird. He was still standing there, wasn't he?
Yeah,
it was
like still standing
several hours later. Nobody else was even around.
We went into the hangar. You know, we were like, hey, push-up competition, you guys, if you want to... You want to like fly a plane, you got to be strong. And we're making a few push-ups and you're like sitting on their backs and we're eating snacks and we're showing. They're like, tell us about snacks. And we're like, oh, he's out there pulling on the joystick.
Yeah. Well.
Good time.
Yeah, good time. Good scene. Hey, take a snack. We'll be right back. Today on Mates, today, Mike and Tom eat snacks.
Mike and Tom eat snacks.
Mike and Tom eat snacks.
By the way, this is Mike and Tom eat snacks. You might think this is flight school. It ain't. You might think this is pulling on the joystick. It ain't. Mike and Tom eat snacks. Snacks is my good friend, Magnet.
And my good friend, So it's a good one today, you know.
Today, I feel like, you know, there's pits and valleys. Pits?
Peaks.
Peaks, thanks. Hey, I gave it away just now.
Yeah, you tipped it, didn't you?
I did. I tipped it. Foul ball, tip. Yeah. But this is like, you know.
For you, this is a peak.
I'm so excited. Yeah. It's a peak. How do you feel about it?
Pretty good. I'm a little bit nervous.
Uh-oh.
Well, because when it comes to cherries. When it comes to cherries, you know, well, first of all, we're recording this right now. This is July. This is cherry season. So
cherry
I'm optimistic.
Season.
God, I love
summer.
Cherry season.
Summertime. Listen, there's some mateys in the Antipodes, and so maybe not for them so much. But listen, for us over here, it's summer. It's a blue green rolling sea, blue sky, green grass summer, warm and beautiful, and cherries.
Now I do love a good cherry, but sometimes you know you get a not good cherry. That makes me a little bit nervous. You know, you get a bag of cherries. I got a big bag of cherries right here. Uh-huh. You know, you want to make sure you get a good batch of them. This time of year they usually are. But the other thing that makes me nervous is I like my cherries real cold, and I didn't have time to really chill these down. So these are going to be a little bit cold, but not as cold as I prefer. But I do like it. I do like a good cherry.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, right? Like there's some of the packages you get on the Great Snack Out of Life, you know, are going to be reliable. They're going to be consistent. A cherry, you know, and we've all been there, a little tart, a little soft, a little old. Like there's, you know, there's vagaries that are built into the cherry snack. It's just, it's just how it is. What I will say is when you get the best and the brightest.
Oh yeah.
Then you.
Oh, you can't beat it.
You kind of can't believe it. Right? And so, look.
Let me tell you something about the cherry. It's one of the more attractive fruits. You know, it's just a good looking fruit. It's got just a tremendous color. And the color varies a little bit. You can get more of a reddish, more of a deep purple. You can get almost a black cherry. You know, but they're all gorgeous looking. It's a good size. You know, it's about the size of a grape, you know, but it's got that stem. The stem makes it kind of fun. And it gives you an easy thing to kind of pull off from. You know, you get your teeth right under the stem, you pull it off, and that's a lot of fun. The cherry pit.
You know, Here we go, folks. It had to happen.
It's kind of the elephant in the room, isn't it? The cherry pit.
Talk about it. We got to talk about cherry pit.
Would I ever get rid of the cherry pit? No. I mean, to me, this is an integral part of the cherry eating experience. I'm not interested in a pitless cherry. I'm not interested in a pitted cherry. I want my cherries to have pits. However, it presents certain problems when you're snacking on cherries. And the primary problem is, you know, I'm walking around with a big bag of cherries. I need somewhere to put the pit. So now I got to have both hands occupied if I'm walking around. You know, I got my chair, I got my pit container, I got my bag. So I'm basically immobile. It's not a mobile snack, the cherry. If I'm outside, sure, I can patooey it into the shrubs or into you know, old man Leonard's garbage cans as I'm walking by, but it's not the most mobile snack. Sometimes I find myself, I grab a handful of cherries, I walk right over to the garbage bin, the trash bin in the kitchen, I'm eating it over the trash bin. That's not what I want.
No.
But sometimes it's the most practical solution to the problem.
Yeah. Listen, you know my stance on this. We've gone over this over the years. I love the cherry pit. You know, it's like you got to work a little for lobster. You know, the peach is in there. Be careful. It's like, I'm like you. I don't want my cherry without the pit. It, in a strange way, as inconvenient as it can be at times, it's definitive. It helps define the cherry. And you know me, like Cape Cod League and then like, you know, the Seaboard and then like, you know, like playing at like Scranton Wilkes-Barre. Like to me, as you know, like, growing up in the minor leagues, playing in the minors, having like that back pocket full of spits, it's like, you know, that's the goddamn great green outdoors, the game of baseball. And you're just like spitting that stuff all over the field. And that's just how it is. And a cherry to me is like a freeing thing because I'm getting out there and I'm rarely eating my cherries inside, you know, for the very reason that like part of the thing is like finish off that thing to suck on that pit and then out she goes. You know, like fire that thing way out there. I mean,
you go for distance a lot of times.
Sure, sure. And that's part of the joy of like this particular snack is, you know, when you get down to the pit and what you going to do with it. Now, I've chilled my cherries. Not only that, take a look at this magic. Knowing that I had like 45 minutes before we figured out what we're doing.
Got a nice bowl of cherries.
Yeah, I got a nice bowl, but look what else I did. I threw in some blueberries just to have like the kind of aesthetic.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Well, it just looks good, you know.
All right, but don't be munching on blueberries during a cherry podcast.
Hey,
okay,
shut
I just
your
don't.
Mouth.
Well,
shut
I
up.
Just worry sometimes.
He's
you get a little imaginative.
Back back
you get a little
JB.
Conceptual, and I worry about
it's
it. That's all I'm
here
saying.
And I wonder if he's boozed up. He's hitting the
boozed
liquor.
Up. I just worry. You know, I just want to make sure you play it straight. That's all I'm saying. I just
you know I play it straight.
I know you play it straight.
Yeah, we had long hours on the flight training thing and. You know, long hours and like going up in those F-14s, it doesn't really, they're not conducive. And Michael and I'd be at each other's throats.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'd be yelling at each other and like, watch my back. It's like, I'm tired. I'm like, damn it, we're under attack. And you're like, I'm tired. I'm like, do I roll right? Do I roll left? And you're like, you choose. I'm tired. God, it's amazing we got out of there alive. I see you're like, you're jumping in.
Oh, I jumped in. I'm pulling them right off the stem. Here's my method. I take the two front teeth, you know, and actually both, top and bottom, four front teeth. Give them a little pull, and if I'm lucky, I get a little sound as it disengages from the stem. Just a little. I like that.
Now, once done, I got to choose a side. Are you the same way?
What do you mean?
Well, I'll show you. Watch. Oh, I got it. These are a good batch.
You mean mouth cherry. Side of your mouth?
Yeah. So watch this. So here I go. I go in like this. All right. And I choose a side. Left or
you
right?
You go right.
Well, not always.
So what side are you going?
What's
going
funny
right.
is my first cherry was spectacular. This next guy, a little bland.
Yeah. My cherries today are a little bit watery, a little bit bland. Not bad.
My first one was exceptional. It was like, it was leading the league in cherry. No. Oh, yeah.
I forgot. As I'm talking about the pit.
Go on.
You know, and I'm going off about the pit. I'm talking about the pit, having fun with the pit, and thinking about what I'm going to do with the pit. Hey, pal, you forgot about the stem. You got to dispose of the stem, too.
Sure, sure. Absolutely.
It's not just a pit.
No.
It gets all the glory, but you still got the stem.
Everybody wants to talk about the pit, but it's not just the pit, right?
I got a stem to deal with, too.
No, you got to.
It's going in the same cup. I'm mixing my stems in my pits. I mean, you're not going to get a separate pit cup and a separate stem cup. That would be stupid.
And you're not stupid.
I'm not stupid.
That's the funny thing. Like, you're not stupid. Now, I can, You know, one of the things is you can kind of idea cherry a little bit, right? Some of them can get a little banged up, bruised, mottled.
Mm-hmm.
You don't go for those ones. You go for the shiny, the sheen on the outside of the cherry, the bulbous presentation. And then, oh, yeah. Nailed it. Yeah. Now, the other great thing is, how hard are you going to work to get down to the pit? Because you can kind of like, I can slide into the side of my mouth and use my teeth almost as a bread shaver.
Sure.
And I can kind of like come down slowly if I want to keep that thing in there. Not only that, if I do it that way, that pit's going to last in there. And, you know, I'm going to chew it around a little bit sometimes, like, you know, like a loaded chaw up there in my, up there in the mouth. Kind of roll it around a little bit. Make sure you suck on it and pull off all the remaining cherry residue, because a lot of times, you know, there's some left on the pit.
I like to call it cherry meat.
Mm-hmm. Meat's good.
Cherry pulp, flesh.
Pulp, meat, flesh. Oh, all that is fine. Yeah, yeah. That's good.
I'm not a lingerer when it comes to cherries. I'm not. You know why? Because part of the appeal for me is the biting, is the savoring, is the chewing down, getting the cherry juice. It's not a lingering fruit for me. Some fruits I might linger.
Yeah.
You know? I might spend some time with a peach, you know, trying sure. to scrape out every little bit from the pit. With the cherry, I'm just, for me, it's about quantity. I'm just trying to shovel as many fucking cherries in my mouth as I fucking can. I'm never going two at a time.
No, because you can die that way. Right?
There's one. Go solo.
Yeah. No, it's one. 100%.
I'm going to try it just to see. I don't think I've ever done it. I'm going to go two at a time. And it doesn't feel right even doing it. I got two cherries in my hand. I'm going to take them both off at the same time. Mm-mm. No, it's no good. You know why? You can't control when you get to the pit as well. The way you were just describing. I mean, part of eating a cherry is you're in control of where you're getting, where the pit is at all times. You always kind of mentally know where the pit is. Once you get more than one in your mouth at a time, you kind of lose track. It's a little bit hard to do it with two. Yeah, but I'm not even going to think about three.
No, I don't think. I mean, I think that's got to be a small percentage of folks that have got two pits on the go.
Honestly, I've never heard of anybody doing it before. I feel like I might be the first person who's ever put two cherries in his mouth at the same time.
You might be making it up. Yeah. Mm. I'll tell you what. Like, when you get a good one, like I said earlier, you know, it's such a grand snack. And it's also amazing. There's something about the working for it. You get a really good one. There's an explosion of juice, pulp. You know, it's really great. And then it's gone. You're left with a cherry and you can, like, you know, linger as long as you want. Magic isn't a lingerer. I'm a lingerer. Along with the cherry thing. But then you're like, all right, that was satisfying, but not satisfying enough. And so I need to go back and get the next cherry. And then I'm not there yet with this one, but after a while you're like, ooh, man, I'm cherried out.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. I've had, like, it's a rich fruit, right? And it's a rich snack. And after a while, like, I don't know that I eat more than, you know, 10.
Hmm.
And I'm like, okay, that's good. Like, I can count right now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah, when you get that initial one going.
I'm almost on 20.
Whoa.
I'm not a lingerer.
No, it's a thing. I'm like, I got the pulp on the right side of the mouth. I got the pit on the left side. And once I'm done with the pulp, which I just am, now I'm lingering around there to see what else I can, like, scavenge off of the pit. I also kind of like the aesthetic. I like the feel rolling that thing around in there, getting ready to hork at it, like, you know, the manager or the shortstop or whoever's nearby, trying to see how far I can go in distance. You know, like I say, normally it's outside. So, you know, all those are fun little games. What can you hit? What can you not hit? Yep. But after, like, you know, you're on 20. So that now I'm at 8, and I'm like, good snack. Good snack.
For me, now, I got to play it straight here. I haven't had in this batch what I would consider a single great cherry. I've had some okay cherries.
Yeah.
They have not, this batch of, where do these come from? This bag, these come from, just says the product of USA, but.
Cherries, I see that. Cherries.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Cherries that's there. You got a non-brand name, and you're taking your shots. I got mine from a farm, so I knew they were going to be good. And fresh cherries. These we're going to stand the test, and they have. Like out of the eight that I've had, four have been excellent cherries.
Mm-hmm.
Just explosion of sweetness and juicy, and you know, the right level of ripeness. You know, and then four that have been like solid B minuses. But you're exactly right. Like we said earlier, that's going to color your cherry snacking experience.
Well, I feel bad because I'm already thinking ahead to ratings.
Sure.
And I know in my life, I've had cherries that have just been off the charts.
Sure.
You know, just off the charts cherries that you just watch them sling into the sky, and all you can do is wave.
Yeah.
You know, as they're just heading out into orbit, they're so good.
Yeah.
This batch of cherries, I don't know. I mean, they're barely getting into the in off the ground.
Well, they're working down at the Cape. They're probably like, working in different, they're working down in the control room. Maybe they're running numbers. You might have numbers cherries right there. They're not the guys in the suits, flying out of Cape Canaveral. Listen, to put a man on the moon, it takes a team.
Yep.
And every team member is important. Does every team member shine and get the glory the way the cherry that's smooth and one of those top 10 cherries? No, of course not. But everything's important. The analogy doesn't really work because you kind of want all those great. You want the great cherry all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Every time out.
You want Buzz Aldrin up there. You want every cherry to be a Buzz Aldrin. You're just not going to get it.
Or a Buzz Lightyear. Yeah. Mm. See, I got another.
Sometimes you're gonna get a. Sometimes instead of a Buzz Aldrin, you're gonna get a.
Go on.
you're gonna get a Fred Hayes or a Jack Swigert, or a Harrison Schmitt. Pretty good astronauts, no doubt. Listen. About that.
Well,
nobody's taking anything away from Schmidt.
Hayes and Swigert, they don't really count because Bill Pullman and Kevin Bacon famously portrayed him. So those guys are famous now.
Oh,
anytime,
yeah, those guys.
Anytime Kevin Bacon and Bill Pullman portray you, you're fine. You're a solid cherry. Are you Hanks? No.
No, you're never going to be Hanks. Come
on. You're not Hanks, and you're not going to be Hanks. I mean, Hanks, that's probably a good ranking. Like a Hanks cherry, Pullman cherry, Bacon cherry, those are all like, those are respectable cherries. But a Hanks cherry, I mean, that's a cherry par excellence, right?
Sometimes you're going to get a,
I love that you're so into this.
A Franklin Chang Diaz.
I'm unfamiliar with Franklin.
Oh, he was the first Hispanic American in space, January 12th through 18th, 1986. Terrific, great, perfectly good astronaut, Perfectly good astronaut, but come on. He's no Buzz Aldrin.
Good old Buzz. Buzz, I mean.
Sometimes you're going to get a Sigmund Jahn.
How much fame did Buzz get accomplishments vis-a-vis name?
Oh, a lot.
Well,
you're not going to do much better than Buzz Aldrin.
But how much of that is due to his name?
I'm saying a lot.
Yeah, okay. All right.
80%.
He came in there with like, I'm Buzz, and all the other astronauts are like, fuck. They're collectively in the room, their heads dropped. Yeah. They're like, ah, why didn't I
even
think
compete
of that?
With this shit?
I'm Scott Carpenter.
Yeah.
It's just,
I'm Gus Grissom. Not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Even Armstrong was probably like,
Nah, Armstrong's pretty good too.
But Neil,
Armstrong.
Though,
no, Neil's not great, but Armstrong.
I know, but like
Aldrin isn't great, but Buzz.
I mean,
if it had been Buzz Armstrong.
I mean, Grissom and Aldrin were like, they're back in the barracks at night going, we're in.
Yeah.
You can be as shitty as you want in the spinning thing. You're in. You're Buzz. I'm Gus. They can't say no to us. What's America going to think if we're kicked out? It's not going to happen. Yeah. And
well, why do you think Franklin Chang Diaz wasn't until 1986?
Because America's racist?
Yeah. What about Ulf Merbold?
Who?
Ulf Merbold, first ESA astronaut in space. I don't know what the ESA, European Space Agency.
Yeah. And until now, I didn't know there was an ESA. NASA's like, look at these jokers, ESA. They took two of our letters, they put an E in front of it. Good luck.
Didn't even
NASA's
fly
like,
on a
good
European,
luck, ESA.
It was an American rocket, too, or space shuttle.
Well, America. You know what I'm saying? America.
Hmm. It's got a pretty good cherry.
Oh, good. That's good. I'm happy for you. Hey, ratings?
Ratings.
Folks, he's rubbing it. I mean, you could probably see this as the viewers, but again, we've had some difficulty ascertaining what is and what isn't. Michael's shaking his head. He's rubbing his eyes. Like, that's one of the things I love about this guy, folks, by the way, that he plays it straight.
Every time
we have to rate, all Michael and I care about is getting the damn thing right. How do we feel today about this snack and putting that feeling into an accurate numerical representative? And it's not easy. It's not easy.
You think it would be easy. Eat a snack. Pick a snack. Eat a snack. Rate a snack. What could be simpler? Well,
if you don't play it straight, it's probably child's play for you.
Yeah.
But listen, if you don't play it straight, you're not a decade in and the number one podcast.
Oh, I love Twix bars. Eight. Yeah. Try eating it critically.
Yeah. Try eating the Twix bar critically. Can you just try that instead of just, that's what I said, eight. It's like, compared to what? And what are your pros? What are your cons? Why? Right. What is the sugar factor? How do you feel after five Twix bars in a row? How do you feel about eating the Twix bar tomorrow? How do you feel about eating the Twix bar all week? Like, God damn it, man. Play it straight. Take these things into consideration. This rating matters. Well, I got a little worked up there. I apologize. I play it straight.
Hey, it's all you can do.
I apologize for my
actions. How you last in this game.
I guess it's true. So cherries, look. I mean, listen. Cherries. We know I enjoy you. That much is out there. You know, as a summer snack, it's joyous to me. You get a good cherry, like Michael said. You're the man on the moon. You know, you're QREM. There you are. And that's leaving out the impact cherry has had on society. You know, the expressions like sports to cherry pick. You know, something's great, cherry on top, because cherry signifies something great. You know, virginity, lose the cherry. It's like, listen, cherry's in there.
No, something's fantastic. What do you say? Oh, it's cherry.
Yeah, like, that's not an accident, folks, that cherry has like woven its way into the modern day lexicon. It's a significant entity. It's a wonderful summertime snack that brings with it its own identity. And like I said, the identifier is the pit. It's part and parcel of eating a cherry. What you gonna do with the pit? You know, are you gonna be like me, a lingerer? Are you gonna be like magic? Just get to the next thing, have the full cherry experience. Whatever you choose is right for you, but you cannot deny that the cherry as vehicle makes for a great and wonderful and smooth ride. That said, say you don't get, like, you are incumbent upon the vagaries of the cherry. And Michael, today is a perfect example. I got a fresh, clean, chilled, beautiful batch. Michael got a bag of not necessarily duds, but, you know, his experience was not the same as mine. Mine was great because the cherries were great. I also, not that this is necessarily a con, personally, it's a rich snack, it's a joyous snack, it's a fun snack, but I can't do too much of it. And we look at Le Twix test, it's like, tomorrow I'm probably not going to have cherries as a snack. I might take a week off because it's rich, it's good, but I cannot keep doing it. And oftentimes, you know, the cherry identifier notwithstanding, I don't want to work that hard. So if I'm inside, it's like, well, I'm not going to have a cherry because, you know, I want to spit this thing. I don't want to go outside to spit it. If I'm outside, I do like it. So there's, the cherry brings like a good snack. And this is one of the reasons that I respect and appreciate this, the cherry so much, is it brings so much to the table. It's not just sitting there going like, I don't know, eat me or don't eat me, I don't care. You know, it's not just a cracker. It's got an identity, and I would say largely a positive and a receptive message that it sends out there. Cherry, for me, 7.
There are days, if I've got a good bag of cherries in the fridge, you know, and it's chilled, and I got 2 pounds of cherries there, I'm going to go in for cherries. I'm going to wake up. First thing I'm thinking to myself is, hey, I got a bag of cherries sitting there. I'm going to have a few, even before anything else. Spit them out in the garbage can, you know. Then I'm going to come back later in the day. I'm going to have more cherries. I'm going to come back later in the day. I'm going to have more cherries. That bag of cherries is probably not going to last 24 hours. I can go back time and That's time right. again.
I like that for about the cherries. You've got like a good staying power.
When the cherries are popping, those cherries are popping. That's a terrific, terrific summertime fruit. I get excited as summer approaches, thinking, oh, it's going to be cherry season soon. You know, I'm thinking to myself, oh, those cherries are going to be terrific. And I'm going to get some nectarines, or now some sweet Georgia peaches. I'm going to get some cherries. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get some watermelon. It's fruit season, folks. And when the cherries are right, man, all is right. I'm standing up there. My hand is over my heart. I'm singing the goddamn national anthem. That's how much I like a cherry. But when a cherry is wrong.
You're singing the anthem when you're eating a cherry?
I'm singing the anthem.
You gotta be careful about the pit, though.
Well, I'm interrupting as I'm going.
So you sing a bit, then you knock back a cherry, then
yeah,
you
eat. Yeah, I'm going to spit a little bit.
And the home.
Brave. You know, for me, that cherry, mm-hmm. that platonic cherry that I've got in my head right now, the cherry I know I've had many summers of my life. Mm-hmm. Man, that cherry is an 8. That cherry right there, that's an 8.
That cherry's an 8.
But that's not these cherries.
Oh!
That's not the cherries that I'm eating today, Jeez, Tom.
You had me at 8. For a minute,
cherries I'm eating today, or first of all, they're not cold, and that's that. I can't blame the cherries for that. You know, they're
not
all right.
Even cold. Like mine are chilled, and you put it well. A chilled cherry. Yep. Thank you. That's your starting point. Feels like that's your starting point.
I love a chilled cherry.
Wash them off. You put them in the fridge. They're chilled. Chilled cherry.
Fabulous.
Great starting point.
These aren't that. You know, these are room temp, maybe a little bit colder than that. But they don't have that pop. They don't have the tart. The combination of the tart and the sweet. That's what you want.
Mm-hmm.
These are basically just a little bit watery. You know, they got a nice texture.
Yeah.
You know, they'll puncture right. You cut through the skin. You feel like, oh yeah, I'm cutting through some cherry skin right there.
But you want your cherry to stand for something.
The flavor,
tart, sweet. But you want it to have an identity.
I don't know what this is. I don't know what this cherry is saying to me today.
Tough.
You know,
it's
punching in.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, hey, I'm here. Let's put in our 8 hours and go home. The weekend's coming. No, Cherry, come on.
That's not what you do, Cherry. Mm-mm. That's the thing. The cherry, that's for other snacks. The cherry needs to stand for something. Like it or not, Cherry, you got to stand up.
It's just, you can't, you know, you're not banana. You can't phone it in.
Right.
Banana can phone it in.
Banana can phone it in. Banana can, like, you can tell. Look at what are you opening me for if you don't want like a little green? What are you doing? You want it? You know what? I'm going to be a little tart. You're like,
right.
You're opening me up. Look, I've got hours left a day. You can tell from the outside. So like, you know, whatever. I don't have to like stand and register.
It's on you, buddy.
I'm banana.
Right.
I'm banana. Look at me. I'm on the damn package. I don't have to stand up and like do a dance for you.
You know exactly what you're going to get when you look at me.
I'm banana. Look at me.
I'm brown banana. I'm yellow banana. I'm slightly green banana. Like, you know everything you need to know.
100%. I'm not one of those weird, small, kind of like tiny banana, half banana, green banana. I'm like, look at me. I'm banana. You know what I am. I'm banana.
Mm-hmm. Banana's phoning it in. All right, fine. That's it. Part of the deal with banana.
Yeah, you know, cherry. Banana's like, look, this is it. You know who I am. What do I got to do a song and dance for you? Get me, don't get me, whatever. Banana.
Cherry's got to work a little harder, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, it's not, it is what it is. It just is what it is. You can't just show up. You can't just clock in, Cherry, but that's what I feel like you're doing to me today. I wish I wasn't going to give you the rating that I'm going to give you, but I got to rate this batch of cherries on this day, in this moment, and bag of cherries. You know, I've been pitching, I've been yawning, I've been doing everything I can to try to fly home. I got to abort the mission. It's a 5.5. I'll see you next week.
I'll see you next week.
Starburns Audio, a podcast network.